This is the BBC, with the Daily Minutes podcast. Oh no, it isn't. I mean, this is the Daily Minutes podcast. This is, however, not the BBC.
Hello, this is Mike Marsh, G1IAR, here with the TX News podcast of the GB2RS National News for Sunday, the 23rd of June 2019, supplied by the Radio Society of Great Britain and brought to you by TX Factor. The news headlines this week: 2 meters crosses the Atlantic, SAQ transmission next weekend, and update on 144 megahertz and 23 centimeter threats. An historic contact was made on Sunday the 16th of June 2019 when the Atlantic was spanned for the first time on 144 megahertz. Delta 41 Charlie Victor on Cape Verde Islands off the coast of Africa managed to work Foxtrot Golf 8 Oscar Juliet in Guadeloupe on 144.174 megahertz using FT8. The distance was 3,867 kilometers. This was bettered on the 18th with QSOs between Cape Verde and Puerto KP4. The distance was 4,458 kilometres. There was also a QSO with Whiskey Papa 4 Golf at 4,358 kilometres. The propagation mechanism was tropospheric ducting, and the path had been predicted as being workable for a long time. The annual SAQ VLF transmission on Alexanderson Day on 17.2 kHz from the Alexanderson alternator will take place on Sunday the 30th of June. 2 transmissions are scheduled. Tuning will start at 0830 UTC for the message at 0900 UTC and then 1130 UTC for the transmission at 1200 hours UTC. Both transmission events will be broadcast live on YouTube, and QSL reports to SAQ should be via the new reception report form via the SM Bureau or direct by postal mail, not by email. Sierra Kilo 6 Sierra Alpha Quebec will be operating on 7.035 kHz or 14.035 MHz CW or 3.755 kHz single sideband. QSL instructions are up on the website, and QSL details and all the other information are also on the websites grimerton.org and alexander.n.se. The IAIU was represented this week at the meeting of the CEPT Project Team A, which is one of the groups leading WRC-19 preparations and has just finished in Prague on Friday the 21st. Of particular interest were discussions on 2 proposed agenda items for WRC-23 concerning the sharing of the 1240 to 1300 MHz band with the Galileo system navigation system and the proposal from France to study a range of frequencies, including the 144 MHz amateur band, for future primary aeronautical applications. The meeting considered views that the Galileo issue did not currently warrant a WRC-23 agenda item and should be first investigated within CEPT. However, regarding new aeronautical frequencies, including 144 MHz, the proposal was unfortunately not strongly opposed by other administrations. This has been carried forward to the higher-level CEPT-CPG meeting in August. The IAIU and RSGB views with grave concern any proposal to include the global amateur and amateur satellite 144 MHz primary band in the proposed aeronautical agenda item, and will be making every effort to fully protect amateur radio interest and seek the support of the regulators in this regard. More details can be found online at tinyurl.com/GB2RS-0623alpha and also on the RSGB's own special focus page, which is at rsgb.org/WRC-19. A newly digitized classic film of the 25th anniversary Congress of the IAIU has been uploaded to the RSGB YouTube channel. Taking place in 1950, the Congress was attended by many well-known amateurs from around the world. The silent film also includes some marvellously authentic street scenes and some decidedly odd motor vehicles. You'll find it in the film archive section at rsgb.org/videos, where you'll also be able to find the bulletin report from the August 1950 on the same event. Former Colliery Sites on the Air takes place on the 25th of June from 7 to 9pm. It's easy to take part and there are very few rules. All you need is a 2-metre handheld. Check out the details online at fcsota.org.uk. And finally, in the headline news, the latest edition of Six News is now available for the UK Six Meter Group members to download from uksmg.org. The printed edition has been sent out to those members who take it, but all members are able to access the digital version. Moving on now to details of rallies and events for the upcoming week. Sunday the 23rd of June is the Newbury Radio Rally and Boot Sale that takes place at Newbury Showground. Next to the M4 on Junction 13, there will be talking on S22, or is that V44? Car parking is free. Traders can gain access from 8 in the morning and visitors from 9. Admission will cost you £2.50 and car boot sale pitches are £12.50. There's a huge radio electronics and computing boot sale, plus demo marquee with amateur radio on air, plus clubs and National Society stands. There's also catering on site. If you'd like some more information, get in touch with Phil, Golf 6 Echo Echo Sierra, on his mobile, which is 07771 504 738, or you can drop him an email at Newbury Rally, all one word, newburyrally@nadars.org.uk. The Houghton Le Spring ARC Radio Rally takes place on Saturday the 29th of June at Dubmire Royal British Legion Club, Britannia Terrace, Fence Houses, and the postcode is Delta Hotel 46 Lima Juliet. Doors open at 10:15 in the morning or 10 a.m. for disabled visitors. Admission is free. Donations welcome to the Royal British Legion Club. Hot drinks will be available and a licensed bar will be open from 11 in the morning. You can get more details from Amanda, Mike 6 Lima X-Ray Kilo. Call a mobile on 07787 155 745. And to get your event into Radcom, onto GB2RS News and on the RSGB website, please get your details sent in as early as you possibly can via email to radcom@rsgb.org.uk, and we do need to know about 4 months in advance to get your information into the Radcom magazine. Moving on to the DX news now from 425 DX News and other sources. John Alpha Delta 8 Juliet will return to Dunbar Rock near Guanaja Island in Honduras. IOTA reference there is November Alpha 057, and that's going on until the 6th of July. He'll be active holiday styly as Alpha Delta 8 Juliet / Hotel Romeo 9, and he'll be operating CW, SSB and FT8 on the 80 to 10 meter bands. And if you get a contact, QSL via Logbook of the World or direct to the home call. Giuseppe Italy Whiskey 1 Echo Golf Oscar will be active as Italy Delta 9 / Italy Whiskey 1 Echo Golf Oscar from Volcano Island, which is Echo Uniform 017, until the 30th of June. QSL there is via his home call. Dave Whiskey 9 Delta Romeo will be active as Papa Juliet 5 / Whiskey 9 Delta Romeo from St. Eustatius, which is November Alpha 145, from the 25th of June to the 2nd of July. He will be operating SSB, CW and FT8 on 6 metres only and QSL direct to the home call. Finally, Bruce 3 Whiskey 3 Bravo will be active as X-Ray Whiskey 4 X-Ray Romeo from Laos from the 26th of June right through to the 7th of July. He'll be operating CW, FT8 and RTTY on the 40 to 6 metre bands, and if you get that contact, QSL via Logbook of the World or via Echo 21 Echo India Charlie. Special events news time now. Golf Bravo 1 Sierra Charlie Whiskey, operated by members of the Worthing District ARC, will be on the air from the National Coastwatch Institution Lookout at Shoreham-by-Sea in Sussex at Bravo November 43 5 Hotel Yankee on Sunday the 23rd of June. They'll be using 40, 20 and 2 metres from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and QSL is via the Bureau or EQSL. More information's up on QRZ.com. Christian Vision for Men holds an annual event called The Gathering, attended by some 2,000 men. Sunday the 23rd, their special event station Golf Bravo Zero Charlie Victor Mike will be operating on 80, 40 and 20 metres. And Golf Bravo 4 Sierra Romeo Charlie will be operating mainly on 40 metres single sideband and 2 metres FM from the Southeast Big Bang Stem Fest at the South of England Showground on the 26th of June. Golf Bravo 4 Sierra Romeo Charlie was the call sign used by the Aris team in April 2016 at St Richard's, which was one of the 10 schools who luckily earned the right to talk to British astronaut Tim Peake. The station will be operated by St Richard's College Radio Club under the supervision of Phil, Golf 3 Mike, Golf Quebec, who set up the radio club when the college asked the Hastings Electronics and Radio Club for help after that very ISS contact. And Coventry ARS will be supporting the Nuneaton Armed Forces Day event at Riversleigh Park in Nuneaton in Warwickshire on the 29th of June, operating as Golf Bravo 6 Alpha Foxtrot Delta, mainly 40 metres SSB, 2 metres FM and digital modes. The event's open to the public from 11 a.m. and further information can be gotten from Brian, Golf 8 Golf Mike Uniform, on his mobile, which is 07801 862686. And a timely reminder in terms of being open to the public, please send your special event details to radcom at rsgb.org.uk as early as possible so that we can give you free publicity. But do remember, it is a licensing condition that stations using UK special event call signs must be open to the general public. You have been warned. Now the contest news. Sunday the 23rd, the 50 MHz CW contest runs 0900 through 1200 UTC. The exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. Also on Sunday the 23rd, the 70 MHz cumulative contest runs 1400 to 1600 UTC. The exchange is signal report, serial number and locator. Moving on to Tuesday, the SHF UK activity contest runs from 1830 to 2130 UTC. Using all modes on the 2.3 to 10 GHz bands, the exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. On Thursday, it's the 80 metres club championship that runs 1900 through 2030 using SSB only, the exchange's signal report and serial number. And next Sunday, the 30th, the UK Microwave Group's 5.7 and 10 GHz contest runs 0600 right through to 1800 UTC. Using all modes on the two bands, the exchange is signal report, serial number and locator. Okay, time to wrap up the main news now with the radio propagation report, this week compiled by Golf Zero Kilo Yankee Alpha, Golf 3 Yankee Lima Alpha and Golf 4 Bravo Alpha Oscar on Friday the 21st of June. This week was dominated by thunderstorms and rain. While not strictly HF propagation related, this did cause havoc on the lower bands with frequent static crashes. This was particularly noticeable in Thursday's RSGB 80 Meters Club Championship CW contest, where storms over the low countries made the contest really hard going. Other than that, the week was once again marked by a lack of sunspots, but more settled geomagnetic conditions. The solar flux was pegged at 67 to 68, with the KP index fluctuating between 1 and 2. F-layer propagation has generally seen maximum usable frequencies over a 3,000-kilometre path around 14 to 18 MHz, although frequent sporadic E-openings have seen this boosted to 28 MHz and higher on short skip paths. As an example, the 5-watt Italy Whiskey 3 Foxtrot Zulu Quebec / B beacon on 28.227 MHz in Monselice in Italy, and the Echo Delta 4 Yankee Alpha Kilo / B on 28.251 MHz in Henares in Spain were both booming in on Thursday at 0900 UTC with no other CW or SSB signals on the band. Next week, NOAA has the solar flux index remaining 68 to 69, with generally calm geomagnetic conditions other than around Monday the 24th to Wednesday the 26th, when it predicts the KP index could rise to 4. At the time of writing, most coronal hole activity was around the solar poles, which shouldn't really threaten the Earth. Taking a look at the VHF and upwards propagation news now, the weekend starts with a weak high transiting across the British Isles, which could give some tropo enhancements for southern stations, while the north remains closer to the old low and its showery weather type. Some models retain a tendency for high pressure in the south and possible further tropo. The fact that showery weather is not far away at all times and continues to put in an appearance during the week ahead means that rain scatter should again be an option for the gigahertz band's enthusiasts, especially for northern and western areas. There have been a few active days recently for sporadic E in a jet stream sense. The coming week offers some useful directions for sporadic E path. South to Spain and northeast into Scandinavia should be favoured. Additionally, there is a broad upper ridge pattern over eastern Europe at the moment, and this can produce good openings in the high summer. Remember, the peak periods for sporadic E are late morning and late afternoon or early evening. The moon is at apogee on Sunday, with declination rising and going positive on Wednesday, so EME conditions will slowly improve as the week progresses, with falling path losses and lengthening moon windows. And as mentioned last week, the Bootids meteor shower peaks on Thursday, but no unusually high zenithal hourly rate is predicted for 2019. And that's it from the propagation team for another week. And that is it. You've guessed it. That is your GB2RS national news for the UK from around the world this week. Of course, your regional GB2RS news is on the air over the weekend, and it's a broadcast up and down the country on lots of different frequencies, on lots of different bands, and in lots of different modes. And if you haven't managed to ever track down your local newsreader yet, why not? Head over to the TX Factor homepage, txfactor.co.uk. If you click on the GB2RS news tab at the top there, you will find an up-to-date PDF file of all the broadcasters across the country, what time they're on the air, what band they're doing it on, and what mode they're doing it on. And you can simply find the closest station to you who will broadcast all your GB2RS local news. I'm Mike Marsh, G1IAR, reporting with the TX News weekly podcast of GB2RS. Thank you for listening. We will see you right back here next week with the very latest update of GB2RS news.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. It seems my analogy with milk glasses hit a nerve when I explained some of the inner workings of a simple analog-to-digital converter, also known as an AD converter or ADC, as part of my exploration into software-defined radio. Thank you for your comments, suggestions and corrections. I did make an error when I said grab eight of them and you'll have a bite. I'll get into that. Thank you for pointing it out. With my milk glass analogy, if you missed it, without naming it, I drew a picture explaining how a flash or direct conversion ADC works. Briefly, I said that if you were to pour milk into a glass and continue to do that until you ran out of glasses or milk, you'd have converted a signal into bits. I also covered how a partially filled glass was neither full nor empty, and if you ended up with milk all over the desk, you wouldn't know how much there was. In terms of electronics, how does this actually work? In essence, you're comparing a reference voltage against your incoming antenna signal. The way that happens is you have a series of resistors between ground and your reference voltage. For simplicity, let's say five identical resistors against a reference of 5 volts. The result is a series of steps of voltage. At the first resistor, the reference voltage is 1 volt. At the second, it's 2 volts, and so on. If you were to compare your antenna signal at the first resistor, you'd compare it against 1 volt, and your antenna signal might be higher or lower. If it's higher than 1 volt, we'd record a full glass, or 1, and if it's lower, we'd record an empty glass, or 0. This is done with a nifty circuit called a comparator that compares two voltages. If the signal is higher than the reference, it returns a 1, and if it's lower, it returns a 0. If that sounds familiar, an op amp does a similar thing, and if you're wondering, a comparator is an op amp without a feedback resistor. In a circuit diagram, you might see a triangle with two voltages coming in, the one you're measuring, and the reference voltage with a single output that's either 0 or 1. Inside that triangle, which you can purchase as a component for Sense, you'll find the whole circuit that makes all this happen. I'll acknowledge there is an opportunity here to go into how an op-amp actually works, how it slightly differs from a comparator, and more. But we're talking about an analog-to-digital converter, which in turn is part of a discussion about how a software-defined radio works. So I'll leave the circuit diagram and building an op-amp from basic components for another time. One thing to note, though, is that this type of ADC is essentially independent of frequency. It's a direct conversion ADC, and the speed of sampling is determined later on in the process. Back to comparators. We have several of these, each comparing the incoming signal against a stepped reference voltage. In actual fact, if you're doing 8-bit sampling, you'd need 255 of these comparators. If you're sampling at 16 bits, you'd need 65,535 of them. As I explained with glasses of milk previously, you'll have interesting results if the voltage you're measuring is between steps. You could increase the number of steps and measure more accurately. But as I said before, you're only kidding yourself if you think that solves the actual problem. In the same way, if the voltage you're measuring is higher than the total reference voltage, you're up the creek without a paddle, and you wouldn't know what happened, unless you saw magic smoke appear, in which case you'd know that lightning probably struck somewhere nearby. You could increase the reference voltage, like making the glasses bigger, but that's actually making it worse, since we now have bigger steps between each measuring point. So a flash ADC is a series of comparators which compare an incoming signal against a reference voltage and returns a series of bits that digitally represent your signal. The final piece of the puzzle is how we get from the bits coming out of the pile of comparators to the byte going into your computer. Basically, we're tallying each bit, that is, we're counting how many there are, and returning the number as a value to the computer. The speed of this counting process is what determines how fast we can measure our signal. Did I mention how deep the rabbit hole goes? Amateur radio for me is the gift that just keeps giving, more to find every time you look. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
I'm Peter John in English Media. Title music is by Croatian artist Blasco and is published under Creative Commons. You can find this podcast on dmpodcast.net, DM is for Daily Minutes, and on several other platforms. De internetfaciliteiten en studio hardware voor Daily Minutes worden gesponsord door 70MHzShop.nl, 70MHzShop.nl.
Daily Minutes Podcast. Whoever hears this is crazy.
En microfoon naar retour.